So we're on the phone today with David Venieri, Director of Technology for our Harrisonville Schools and outside of Kansas City, Missouri. We also have with us Pete Savonini, Senior Manager for K-12 Education Public Sector Practice for Cisco's Internet Business Solutions Group, the IBSG. David, of course, is works there in the schools, and on our recent webinar from last week, he talked a little bit about upgrading his access control and video surveillance systems to IP-connected solutions. He used a combination of products, many of which were from Cisco. And Pete, of course, being from Cisco, talks a lot about these days working with their clients, talks about school security practices and draws on 17 years when he was a public educator, including a position as a high school principal. Pete, you were out at North Point High School, right?
Yes, correct.
Where is that?
That's in Maryland, in Charles County, right outside of Washington, D.C.
Gotcha. Okay, so pretty fairly urban school district there, I guess. Anyway, so we've got Pete and David back on the program to do the Q&A from that webinar. And if you haven't watched the webinar yet, I would encourage you to pause this podcast. Go to securityinfowatch.com/webinars and scroll down the right-hand side to our archive webinars. Find the one titled School Security. Go ahead, and that was on August 6th, and go ahead and watch that program before you come back to this podcast, just to get some insight into David's project and Pete's thoughts on trends in school security that were presented during that webinar. So let's do the Q&A. We had a lot of questions come in. I didn't have time to do them on the webinar, and we'll just kind of run through those. Pete and David will be bouncing back and forth on the answers. And I guess let's kick off. One of the questions that came in asked David, now that you've upgraded your video surveillance and access control systems, and of course, he did IP solutions so that they didn't have to go to the DVR anymore to get the video that they're available over the internet on computers. They wanted to know who now uses and accesses the video surveillance and access control systems. And I wonder, David, if you could also compare that to who would have been able to access those systems in the past.
Yes, I can. Actually, the best thing about an IP system in our school district is the availability to access both of those access and video surveillance and the control system. In our old DVR system, it was a box that was in a building and only accessible at that building. And for the most part, we really had it locked down to just the principal and my IT, network admin and myself that really accessed that. So it made us very busy from that standpoint. But not only that, it's just we didn't use it as much just because of the inconveniences of having to go do that. With the IP system, we've actually opened it up and trained all of our administrative staff district-wide. Our SROs, our resource officers in our high school and our middle school areas, plus also the district office administrators. So at any given time, any of those combination of those people or whatever can jump on and check out a particular area or whatever. And so it's really made it a lot more user-friendly and convenient to get to. On the access side, we really have controlled that down to our director of building and grounds and myself to manage who gets swipe cards and those types of things. But if you want to go and look at an error that is reported for access denied, building administrators can look at that time also.
Gotcha. And again, this is all remotely accessible. Pete, when you were working as a principal, what was the situation like? I believe you said you guys were using a DVR type system, right? Locked in a closet down the hall?
Yeah, absolutely. And what I found was, with that DVR system, it was just very difficult to use. I mean, an administrator has to take the time to actually walk down a hall to to go through and research. You know, oftentimes the administrator doesn't have time to do that, and so we found that it just wasn't used. And I want to echo the comments as well. When we switched over to an IP system, what we found is, you know, our thefts, 90% of our thefts or 95% of our thefts were being solved. When we had any type of other issues that occurred, whether it was a dispute or something, we could resolve those things quickly because the administrator could do it at his or her desk. And he could do it right there while the child was right in front, while the parent was right in front, asking, you know, the critical questions of how do you know it was my child or how do you know it was me or whatever it was. And we were just resolving so many issues. You mentioned the school resource officer. You know, that was a critical piece, too, because, you know, we didn't want to use that person as a security guard type person, but that person as well could really do a good job of looking at where trouble spots were and resolving issues before they happened.
Yeah, really, makes these systems very actionable. Let's talk about funding. We had a lot of questions come in during the webinar about funding. No surprise there. Just looking at the economy and knowing how, you know, schools always fight, you know, trying to get for funding, more funding. And need it. When you did these upgrades, where did you guys get the funds?
Actually, with the focus that if you remember during the presentation, I talked about we developed a school improvement plan, and in that we came out with an emergency plan, and it was really the emergency part was a top three concern for our district. From our community, they really supported it, so we actually funded it through a capital project in the summer. So it was all within money within our budgets already. So that's the best scenario. Obviously, that's not always the option that you get to choose from. I know up the road there was another school district that funded it through a levy. I think there are some stimulus monies out there. If you can write it into that, I think there's some opportunities there also.
Yeah. Pete, in your experience at IBSG, Cisco's IBSG, what are you hearing as far as the stimulus funds? Are people finding that they can use those for security? Or?
I haven't found yet that they're using them for security, but, you know, there are a lot of parts of the stimulus money that are becoming available over the next year. To year and a half, and I think that some of that might open up then. You know, when you look at special programs as well, there might be an opportunity, although I'm not as familiar as I'd like to be with it, to look at some of the opportunities there.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's jump back to technology for a little bit and some of the technology for the system. We had a lot of questions about how David was using cameras there at Harrisonville. Let's click through them. David, were you working with high definition or, you know, megapixel cameras?
Actually, we were working with we do have megapixel cameras in our district, and the best part about that is, you know, if you take an image, you know, a snapshot of an incident that's going on, obviously you have a still image then, but with the higher res, you're going to be able to actually zoom into that picture and it's not going to get noisy or grainy at the time when you do that. So it does give you an advantage of getting a little closer to the image, even though there's not zoom capabilities on that camera. As far as an HD camera, we are looking at those right now as far as installing those at our sports facility, our football stadium and track facility. And, you know, we're excited about that just from the angle of having an enhanced image out there, you know, because you'll be looking over a longer distance.
Yeah. How about wireless cameras? Someone else asked about that. Are you using any, or do you plan to use any wireless cameras there?
Yeah. Yes, we do. We've got some wireless cameras in service right now. And really, we didn't plan on using wireless cameras, but as we walked around and looked at the areas that were needed to be protected, we started looking at the outside of the buildings and locations, and it was just one of those, you know, it would really be nice to have a camera right here, but we don't have data, you know, and it might be on a light pole across the parking lot. And really the reason we did that is because it would look back into the building across the parking lot instead of looking away from the building. So, you know, as you look and decide where your cameras are going to go, you might come across those scenarios. The wireless camera really was slick. You know, when we got it up and running, it wasn't any more difficult to put that up than it was, you know, putting a regular PTZ up. So that was good. But yeah, we've utilized those, and we'll continue to do that. Fact is, we're looking at that at the sports facility also.
Okay. What I've always liked about the wireless camera concept is that, you know, one of the things as administrator I found is that once you resolve certain issues in a certain place, oftentimes those problems would change in location. So with the wireless camera, you could always change the location of the trouble spots where you found them as an administrator and just move them around. And I think that that's a very poignant and good tool to have.
No, that's a great point, Pete. I mean, you know, to be able to stay flexible with your video surveillance system. David, at Harrisonville, when you did the assessment and sort of made the plans, did that factor in at all? You know, in terms of, you know, how do we keep this flexible and be able to, you know, target toward the areas where we know we might have safety or security or, yeah, concerns. And that
actually, as he was talking, I was just thinking that same thing. I thought, okay, that does make sense. I never would have thought that, you know, I did the wireless just because there was no data there.
Mm-hmm.
But as Pete was talking, it was, okay, yeah, I guess I could move that around the corner if I needed to or to another location in the district if that, you know, was called for.
That's a great point. Yeah, if the kids have been sneaking off to smoke cigarettes behind the building and you put a camera there and they move around another corner, well, it's easy enough to move it, right, or whatever it needs to be done. I've heard that a lot before in municipal surveillance, you know, or city projects where sometimes they'll put up cameras and need to move them because they'll watch crime perhaps just move to the next block over, and it's great to be flexible on that. You know, going back to the wireless, on a technology level, David, did using wireless cameras scare you at all in terms of a security? You know, wondering, are wireless cameras secure, and would somebody be able to get access to my video?
It never really did concern me. We have wireless throughout our buildings, internal and external, and it's Cisco wireless. But I've always looked at wireless as it's secure if you make sure that you are putting your policies in and securing it yourself. But if you cover your bases, I'm confident that it's as secure as wired.
Good point. Okay. Let's see through some of the other technology questions about what you guys used. Here's one. Someone was asking about the the top, you know, features of the system that you liked, of course, you used a Cisco video and access systems. But I would ask, just in general, for both those systems, what were, you know, the couple top factors that really swayed you to one vendor versus another on that?
If I had to answer those, maybe the top two was user-friendly, as far as not even looking at the end part of that install, which would be the cameras, but just the management system itself, being able to manipulate that system to your needs and to make it grow with your needs. Cisco really did a good job on that program. On the other hand, just the support. We are going to have a product here that wasn't cheap to put in, but, you know, we do need to support it. And if we needed help, you know, I wanted to make sure that we were in a company that wasn't going anywhere and that would be able to help us, you know, through TAC and those types of things. So those were my concerns.
Okay. All right. Let's see. More on the technology front. Someone was asking what kind of access control equipment, I guess, you used. So can you talk a little bit about the hardware that you were also using on your access control?
Okay. On the access control, we did have access control prior to putting the Cisco access control in, and it was a proprietary piece of software, and so we had swipes at the doors and those types of things. And as we started to install the Cisco equipment, we came to realize that we had to make a choice. We could have hooked up our proprietary swipes to the system, but if we had done that, you would have always been tied to that particular device. And so if one would have broken or something, we would have had to go back and research and find those. Instead, I made a choice to go to the industry standard swipes, and one of those is HID. And so we've done that just for the mere fact of just growing our district. We have 34 doors now, but, you know, in a couple of years, we're hoping to have twice that many. And, you know, the ability is to grow that without having to worry about if that proprietary software is going to go away or not.
Mm-hmm. Great point. You know, that goes back to your point that, you know, future-proofing is, you know, one of your key attributes. Someone else also asked whether you had any plans to go wireless with your access control.
Have not given that a thought. And probably here, you know, the next couple of years, we probably wouldn't be doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. All right, let's see what some of our other questions we have out today. This one would be a great one for you know, David and Pete, you know, jump in. But a couple of our users asked about, you know, the value of giving CCTV access to first responders or even other sensors. You know, it could be access to data on that, maybe, who knows, maybe the access control system, or could be fire alarm panels, giving it remotely to the first responders. You know, I wonder if you guys could talk a little bit about how that can be done and what the value of that is.
Yeah, I mean, we did that actually in the school system where I came from, and what we did was we allowed them in a time of crisis to either VPN in or we opened up a port, and I found it to be very beneficial because, you know, most police cars now are equipped with computers, and so if you think about a situation where an active shooter is in the building or something, you know, the plan that we had developed was where they could be outside, you know, in a crisis vehicle, and they could be guiding their response team through the building using the cameras, and they found that it was a highly beneficial way in which they could deal with that type of situation to keep their officers safe, to keep other students safe, and to really address the problem. And you know, you can't say enough. Additionally, you know, when I first started, I remember my first weekend as a principal, I got a call at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday night because there was an alarm in the building and a door had been not shut properly. And by using the cameras, we were able to look through the building and look and see, you know, that for the most part, you know, the hallways were clear. And then, you know, it allowed the police force not to have to send the dogs, which is what they typically do, which takes 4 or 5 hours at night. So, you know, they're both issues, both situations where the security system really, really helped us out a lot.
Gotcha. And, David, I know during the webinar you had talked about, you know, being one of your plans for the future as well, is to share that access. You know, maybe you can cover for the Q&A, you know, what your reasons for that are.
Well, you know, one thing is we're working really hard in our district to bridge the gap between our first responders, you know, our fire and our police with this school district, trying to come along the side and work together with them. And they were encouraged just to know that they would have the possibilities to be able to view into our buildings, you know, during an emergency situation. And, you know, so, you know, coming together on that, I just think it's going to give them that opportunity. I'll just reinforce what we just heard, but, you know, that it'll reinforce the what you're going to get into when you're coming into that building into a crisis. I mean, you know, I would much rather know that, you know, there's something going on at the north end of the building, so we can come into another angle and maybe come in that way that's not going to be threatening to us. And we can also at that time also guide students, you know, if we look down the road at digital media, be able to guide students away from those you know, hot spots in that building.
That's a great point. You guys obviously had, you know, selected a preferred vendor for this project with Cisco. And one of the questions came in from our audience was, you know, is your school system required to buy from state contracts? And if so, are you then required to bid out those projects? And if you have to bid out projects, how can you be assured that you'll be able to purchase from your preferred vendor? What are your thoughts on that, David? And Pete, great question for you to jump in on as well, because I know you work with schools all the time on probably the same problem.
Right. We are not required to buy off of state contracts, but for the most part, those are usually cheaper to do because they've gone to that bid process already. But in most situations in my district, being a Cisco-based platform all the way through from our switches and everything, I want to stay that way. And so I do have a preferred vendor. And so if Cisco offers that through a state contract, then I'm probably going to pursue it in that manner because I want to make sure that I get to use Cisco products and even as far as down to my integrator too, being able to pick them through the state contract also.
Mm-hmm. Pete, is this a question that comes up sometimes with when you're talking with schools?
It does sometimes, and I always tell them, it's all about, where your best pricing is and what level of service you're going to get. And you need to factor both pieces in when you make those decisions.
Okay. And so if you really want to get your preferred vendor, what do you have to do? You have to write it into the specs, fairly clearly that that you need, specs that at least meet, who your preferred vendor is, right?
Yeah, and your level of expectation, your level of service, et cetera.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's see some other questions that we had here. This was quite a good question. One of our audience members wanted to know whether you were doing any non-electronic security upgrades at the same time that you were doing these, electronic security system improvements.
We did through the walkthrough. We noticed that if you're going to run cameras in the buildings and you're going to want to view them at night, if the lights are off in the hallways and those types of things, that does tend to give you a bit of an issue as far as the clarity of the camera. Mm-hmm. And so one thing we did there was we actually turned our cameras over to black and white at night, which made it a better image. But we have installed motion sensors to our lights in our hallways. So in the middle of the night, if somebody walks down the hallway, the lights will come on. And actually, we had an incident about 3 months ago. A gentleman broke into one of our buildings and came through a window in a classroom. Well, and then once he walked into the hallway, we got a really nice snapshot of him. And it really paid off for us in that aspect.
Gotcha. Pete, when you're speaking with schools, are they typically looking at both, non-electronic improvements as well as electronic improvements, whether that's, boosting the access control system, improving that, maybe putting in some cybersecurity measures, as well as perhaps improving lighting and fencing?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, the latter pieces that you mentioned have been pieces that hopefully school systems have been working on for the last, 10, 15 years as incidents of crime and violence have decreased in schools, and that's largely because schools have done a much better job of improving lighting, improving access control, et cetera. And now they're looking at those other issues, the cyber issues, et cetera, that are emerging, and schools have become quite vulnerable without having to address it. So I think they're spending a lot of time on that.
Well, Pete and David, thanks a lot for coming on the program today to answer these questions. And thanks again for speaking during that webinar. Again, for our listeners, that was the webinar from August 6, 2009, and it's available by going to www.securityinfowatch.com/webinars and scrolling down to the archive webinars list, and where you can go ahead and watch it directly from that program if you haven't done so already.